Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From struggle to surrender. From struggle to surrender. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been looking on, we've been sort of joining together on something that sort of depicts our journey of faith. I spoke 2 weeks ago on what I take to be the first part of this kind of three-series sermon. First 3 weeks ago, I spoke on From Complaints to Confidence. That was the title. And if you missed out on that, I will strongly recommend that you listen to it. The message is still on the website as well as on our YouTube channel. From Complaints to Confidence, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And in that talk, I reminded us of how the Israelites were at the edge of this Red Sea, and the Egyptians were pursuing them. Prior to that, they were praising God for his deliverance from the land of bondage, from Egypt. But when faced with the force of Pharaoh's chariot and the Red Sea in front of them, praise quickly gave way to panic, and gratitude turned into complaints. We said, faced with an impossible, what looked like an impossible situation, fear drowned the Israelites' trust in God. Yet in the midst of all of that, God gently called them, reminded them to be still and to trust in him. Last week, we took another step with that series by looking at a sermon I titled From Confusion to Confidence. Again, if you missed out on that, the sermon it's on our website, on our YouTube channel. We focused on Psalm 77 and Romans 8 in that talk. And I did mention that the fact that we are children of God or deeply spiritual people doesn't mean we won't wrestle with doubt and with difficult situations. In that talk, I mentioned that Asaph, who was the psalmist in that penned Psalm 77, a worship leader of renown, was faced with very difficult questions, and he was very honest by unpacking his doubt, his anxiety, and God. We mentioned that God loves honest prayers. And when words fail us to really express what is at the depths of our hearts, we reminded one another that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep for words to utter. Paul reminded us of that truth in the book of Romans, chapter 8. So, premised on those two sermons, I'm going to try and move things up in a notch today. So, from struggle to surrender is what I've called this talk. And this is because I believe that there comes a point in many of our lives when the greatest struggle is no longer with our circumstances, but with ourselves. There are moments when the deepest question is no longer, Lord, why is this happening? But rather, Lord, can I trust you enough to let go? So at this point of one's journey, it's no longer the case of the Egyptian pursuing you. It's no longer a case of the Red Sea standing in front of you. It's no longer a case of the enemy throwing fiery darts at you. But you look in the mirror, and what you see is yourself and a place where it's down to you letting go and letting God step in. So those two readings that Carl and Dolly read to us this morning sort of paint the picture of what I'm trying to unpack this morning. In that first reading from Genesis 32, we heard of Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob was about to meet his brother Esau. And for those of you familiar with our story, maybe from your Sunday school classes years ago, or you've still been recently taught if you're a child or a young person. In that story, Jacob was about to meet his brother Esau that he had deceived many years before then. You know, Jacob used to think he was very clever and he could outsmart people because he was so cunning. But his lies and his trickery finally caught up with him. And he was so scared, really scared, as he was about to meet his brother Esau. So he had sent ahead his family and his belongings, and he stayed back, pondering, probably panicking, and wondering the fate that were awaiting. Jacob found himself alone, and there in the darkness, he wrestled, we are told, with a mysterious man until daybreak. In this rather strange story, we understand that the struggle lasted through the night, and Jacob wouldn't let go of this mysterious man. Eventually, Jacob's hip went out of joint. And even with the pain and with the limp, Jacob still refused to let go. And he says to this mysterious man, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob entered that gloomy night, fearful and anxious, and he left limping, but also blessed. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, God changes our circumstances, but most of the times, it actually changes us rather than the circumstances. And changing us is the greater of the two miracles. Jacob became Israel. Our gospel reading that tells us about another struggle, this time the struggle of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, paints a similar picture to that of Jacob. Jesus was about to be arrested and crucified. Jesus, being Jesus, knew what lied ahead. He knew of the pain. He knew of the bleeding. He knew of the flogging. He knew of the ridicule, the shame of the cross. He knew within hours he would be abandoned, condemned, and crucified. And Luke tells us in that writing that Jesus' anguish was so intense as he wrestled that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Then Jesus prayed a very honest prayer. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. I don't feel like drinking this cup. If you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Notice that Jesus did not pretend as if he loved what he was about to go through. He didn't pretend that the suffering was going to be easy. He did not hide his sorrow. He brought the whole thing before God. He was honest. Come on, we cannot be more Catholic than Pope. This was Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Like Jacob, Jesus wrestled through the darkness. In both stories, the struggle was real. The pain was not immediately removed, yet in both stories, just like in Jacob's own, in Jesus' one, both people ended up surrendering to the Father. In case of Jacob, he was forced into submission, I must say. In the case of Jesus, Jesus being Jesus, of course, willingly submitted to the will of the Father. Someone said, "Faith is not believing that God will always do what we want. Rather, it is trusting that God will always do what is right." Faith is not believing that God will always do what we want. Rather, it is that God will always do what is right. That kind of trust does not come easily. Most of us find it easier to trust God when his plans look like a carbon copy of ours. The real wrestling often begins when God's plan doesn't match ours. The struggle begins. If you are praying with it for $1 million or £1 million, and God says to you, "I'm going to give you £1 million. Of course. Of course, all of you say amen. I love that. No struggles there. Of course you're excited. But when your will and your plans don't match God's plan, God's will, then there'll be a real struggle. There's a tension. And we all need to learn to trust God, that he knows best and that he cares. I heard of a lovely story of a little girl walking with her dad through through the woods. It was getting dark. And as the shadows grew longer, the little girl became afraid. And the father said to the girl, "Hold my hand." And the little girl said to the father in response, "No, you hold my hand." And the father laughed and said, "But what's the difference?" The little girl answered, "If I hold your hand, I might let go. But if you hold my hand, I know you will never let go." Perhaps that is one of the deepest truths of the Christian life. God holding our hands. We saw the mercy of God that Jacob received. He was beaten into submission because of the Lord's mercy, because God would not let go of him. God is faithful. Jacob entered his wrestling that night, feeling he needed to cling to God, but he quickly realized that God had been the one holding on to him all along. Jesus entered Gethsemane knowing that even through the darkness, his father would not abandon him. And because of God's faithfulness, the same promises that many of the Bible characters enjoyed, the same promises are our inheritance as sons and daughters of God. Jacob received a new name from being Jacob the usurper, the deceiver. He became Israel, which translates one who wrestles with God. His identity changed because of that encounter with God, an encounter in which he realized that all along God had been holding on to him. Sometimes our deepest struggles become the very places where God quietly reshapes our identity, who we are. Frederick Buchner, who was an American author and preacher, once said, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." And often we discover that those sort of places are usually fraught with struggles. And they are the kind of places where God deepens our faith and enlarges our compassion for others. Think of people like Moses and David and Elijah, Peter, Paul. None of them were strangers to struggles. We heard of Jacob today. We saw Jesus' experience in that garden of Gethsemane. Faith in God. It's not about having every answer. It's not about pretending as if we never struggle. Rather, it's about learning day by day to keep bringing ourselves to God who holds our hands. Your faith will be tested. My faith will be tested. Just like children will be tested in their schools, through their exams. A faith that has never been tested is a faith that has never had the chance to grow. Perhaps that was why Jacob, in the end, had to walk away with a limp. As a reminder that his faith in God had been tested. Paul understood this when he says, in my moments of weakness, I know I am strong. Why? Because weakness teaches us dependence on God, and dependence is where our faith in God takes root. So as I round up this series, just a quick reminder of what I believe we've learned over the last 3 weeks now. We've learned that even though we start from a place of complaint, even though we begin from a place of confusion, we can journey towards a place of confidence in God. And as we discover today in this talk, through this talk, our confidence in God isn't synonymous with an absence of struggle. When fear comes, let us remember the story of the Red Sea. When confusion comes, let us remember the promises of Psalms like Psalm 77, the promises of scriptures like Romans chapter 8 that tells us that even when we can no longer find the words, the Spirit intercedes for us. When the struggle reaches deep into our hearts, let us remember the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Let us remember the story of Jesus wrestling with the weight of the cross that he was about to go through. And know that the same God who brought these people to safety, to victory, is the same God that we serve. His power hasn't been diminished. His ability to hold on to us has not been diminished. So today, if you find yourself in a place of wrestling, or a place of disappointment, or in a place of uncertainty, in a place of grief, in a place of temptation, in a place of difficult questions, there's no need to hide that struggle. Bring them to God. Bring your answers, your questions to the Father. Bring your fears, bring your whole heart to God. The God who met Jacob by the river, who strengthened Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, is the same God who is still on earth doing wonders amongst his people. And his grace is more than sufficient for us. His love will never let go of us. Amen. We're now going to have an offertory song. And